Well, Jules, the calendar has been flipped to June, but the Jays are still hitting like it's May. They trailed in this one from the top of the first inning to the bottom of the eighth, but some timely hitting from Kirk, certainly Addison Barger, Ernie Clement, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. as well, helped the Jays storm back to take the lead, an 8-4 win, their fifth straight. They've had their first five-game win streak of the season. They're now three games above 500, and they complete a four-game sweep of the A's here at the Dome. The vibes are very different these days, let me tell you.
They are. I can tell you. Everyone in that clubhouse is very, very happy about this win. I gotta imagine that no one is happier or more relieved than George Springer tag out at third base. We could be having a very different conversation right now, Show, if the bats had not come back to win this game for the Blue Jays. But yeah, you know, not all games are going to be the most fundamentally tight. Sometimes you make mistakes. This has been a messy series pretty much throughout, and we just saw a little bit more of that. Kudos to the Blue Jays bats, honestly, for, you know, they just kept chipping away, which is something that is a little different, certainly, from the iteration of this team that we saw last year. And, you know, Show, a lot has been said by players, by coaching staff, about just the different mentality around this team. We heard Ernie Clement earlier, or in May, rather, talking about, you know, sometimes last year when we were down by two runs, it felt like we were down by 10, right? And that's very much not the case this season. You can take that with a grain of salt if you want. You can look at it for what it's worth type of thing, but these games are the ones that I feel like this mentality matters a little bit more, and you can sort of see what it actually means, because that tag out with Springer jumping on the bases, and I'm sure we got some texts about that
believe me.
That could have been, you know, a momentum killer, and it's the worst kind of momentum killer because you're killing your own momentum, right? You're finally getting it going, getting to the starter and things of the sort, and then that happens. But this year, this version of the Blue Jays is a version of the Blue Jays that keeps chipping away no matter what happens. And so, yeah, that is one moment that I am going to circle, and, you know, we may end up revisiting it later on. All things considered, a sweep is a sweep, a win is a win, and the Blue Jays are into the off day pretty happy.
That is Julia Kreutz. I'm Show Ali. You're listening to Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network. We're also streaming on sportsnet.ca and on the Sportsnet app. You can give us a call, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. You can text us as well, 590-590, name and location. That's the people's text line. It is always open. Standard messaging and data rates may apply. Before we go any further, Jules, I did want to quickly announce the winner of yesterday's giveaway.
Oh, nice.
So yesterday was Springer's first two-home run game of the season, both coming off of Gunnar Hoglund. And our question was this. In 2024, he had three games where he had two home runs. In every one of those games, both home runs came off the same pitcher. So if you sent in any one of these names, you were entered into a draw to win. Carlos Rodon with the Yankees, Keiter Montero with the Tigers, or Carson Spires with the Reds. I'll be honest, I mean, I remembered the Rodon one. I did not remember the Montero or Spires one. So if you sent those in without looking it up, kudos to you, because I certainly would not have gotten that correct. Nick in Bedford, Nova Scotia, correctly answered with Montero. So he is the winner of our George Springer jersey. We'll continue doing the giveaways throughout the season. I'll see about getting some of those Vladdy hockey jerseys.
Nice.
Maybe we can give those away later on. But I'll tell you what, Jules. I mean, if Addison Barger keeps this up, he'll be getting a giveaway next season. I have yet to see a cheap Barger bomb. You know, like when this guy hits home runs, he is never hitting the cheapies that just like scrape the blue line at the top of the fence, or if they're on the road, just barely get out. I mean, this guy only hits missiles. Yeah. Like, this is not a recording from Friday or Saturday. His third straight game with a home run. And this one in particular coming in a very consequential spot. I mean, the Jays were down, like we outlined earlier, essentially all game. Bottom of the eighth, he comes up and blasts one deep into the crowd. I mean, this place was tense after it became 4-2 A's. And, boy, I mean, the roof was cracked. mid-game. It was a little chilly, a little wind swirling a little bit, and Barger sent this place into a frenzy.
It was the biggest momentum swing, perhaps, of the whole series, which is really saying something, and it also indicates that the Blue Jays were dominant throughout the first three games. It was a little different to see, this game kind of carry on the way that it did, and the Blue Jays not being able to get anything going in the first few innings here. That's the starter actually going deep for the A's, things that we hadn't seen in the first three games, and of course that is going to happen. These days are going to happen as well, but they needed it. They needed a big inning, and the momentum shift was very extreme, very visible, and most of all, I think people in Midtown could hear just how loud this place got. And that is Addison Barger. It's amazing that he keeps doing it, and it's even more impressive that he is doing it in the clutch moments, in the moments where the Blue Jays really, really need a spark. And obviously we can't overlook Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and his RBI double, it was a two-run double, that really, obviously very important as well. There's been a ton of talk about, can Vladdy show up in the clutch? Well, he did today, and Addison Barger certainly did as well. So these are the types of contributions that make a winning streak possible, and they are the type of contributions that are the difference between a really good team and a playoff team.
The bottom of the eighth, you get George Springer. Well, he reaches on catcher's interference, so kind of tough luck for Justin Sterner. But then Kirk with an RBI single through a hole, Barger with the home run, Clement with a double, a walk from Davis Schneider, and then a throwing error from the pitcher, the new pitcher, I should say, into center field, and then a Lucas single, and then after a couple outs, a Vladimir Guerrero Jr. double on a line drive to the wall. So, yeah, six-run rally, essentially, in the eighth inning. Great stuff. And again, I know some people will say, yeah, well, you know what? It was the A's. The A's don't have a great pitching staff. This is true, but we have also seen many times in years past, not just this season, but many times where the Jays should have taken advantage of situations that, in theory, are slanted their way, and they haven't, right? So I think, again, the Jays beat a bad team, a team that has lost many of their last, 20 games, essentially. But this is what, you should be doing.
Absolutely.
If you want to be making some noise. And again, I think you'll be able to answer some more, maybe, minute questions, some more fine questions about this team after they play the Phillies and after they play the Twins. I mean, the Cards are coming up after that on the road, and I think they're, six or seven games above 500 or something. So you're going to be able to answer some of the questions about how much of a quality club this is. But I don't think that means you can't enjoy a four-game sweep in which they score six runs in the bottom of the eighth inning. That's pretty fun.
You will take a six-run inning against any team any day. You're right in that the schedule will tighten up again, and that means that the Blue Jays need to play cleaner baseball, which is also something that we've run into a bit more than I expected us to, for sure, this season. And so the mental mistakes can't happen. The distractions can't happen. If you want to actually keep building towards something more here, then you need to be on the ball for the entire game. These teams are not going to let these mistakes slide too often. I'm surprised, and obviously pleasantly surprised, that the Blue Jays were able to keep chipping away and to come back in this game. But it's really, you need to know the recipe for winning baseball, especially when you're talking about, better teams. So as the Phillies come in, the Blue Jays need to be a bit more sound in what they're doing, and then they should be okay, because this offense is rolling. I don't think that there's a question anymore about where we are. Again, I don't expect to see four home runs a game, but they're putting runners on, and more importantly, they're cashing them in, which is something that the A's were unable to do today. They left a ton of men on base, went 1-for-16 with runners in scoring position. Blue Jays went 5-for-10. So as long as you keep the good at-bats going, you should be okay.
David from the 6 on the text line, again, 590-590, name and location. David saying, Would be nice if 500 could hit even smaller in the rearview mirror, but time and the immediate schedule will tell. Nice to see the curling broom get some work today. I like that one. And then Matt from Pickering from Jay's Talk, I think kind of on the same line of what we were talking about, what David was saying. Matt from Pickering saying, great series. Now the Jays need to start hitting consistently and show they can do this against good pitching for them to be considered a real playoff contender this year. So I think the vibes are like appropriately where they should be, right? Like You're happy and pleased with an outcome like this in four games. Because, again, I mean, sweeping any team, I don't care how bad they
it's
are.
Hard.
Sweeping any team is bad. And sweeping a four-game series is even harder. So I think you're happy that this happened, but also, you know, you still want to see this continue against more quality competition, but you will absolutely take it. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's go to the phones. Let's stay right here in Toronto. Let's chat with Jen. Jen in Toronto joining us on Jay's Talk. Jen, what's up?
Oh, hi. It was fun. It was weird. I feel bad for Mark Kotsabe, the Oakland manager. I know he had some expletives when the catcher's interference, and but whatever. My number one point is Addison Barger needs to stay on third. I can see emergency, put him in right field, but I don't want to see the mess up with the lineup to accommodate Schneider and Rodan and move Clement or alternate him and Barger. And plus, Barger had really kind of good defensive play today, like a variety, running in on a bunt and blah, 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 and so on. So I just don't want to see, as I said to the producer, when Jimenez comes back on Tuesday, that now they're going to sort of, where do we put Ernie, or do we put him on third, do we alternate Barger, do we sit Barger against every left-hander, and let's see how they do against velocity pitchers. But other than that, I'm so happy for the fans, you know, that's my number one concern. They had a good game, a great comeback.
Jen, thank you for the call. Always fun catching up with you. Thanks for joining us on Jay's Talk. Certainly, you know, the Barger question as to, like, because there's no way you can take him out of the lineup at this point. Like I said, home runs in three straight games and only hits bombs. So you want to see him stay in there as much as humanly possible. I do wonder, to Jen's question, how it will be treated in terms of keeping him at third base, because I think most would be okay if, as long as he's in the lineup and batting, like, fifth or higher, probably, depending on, and again, Santander is out, Varsho is out. I think you kind of need some power, and Barger is one of the few real credible power threats on this team, especially with Santander and Varsho down for now. So you want to see him bat a little higher in the order, certainly. But I do wonder, and this ties into Springer to a certain extent, because I think one thing, and again, this is probably like the only negative thing we'll get to today, but I do believe beyond the outcall at third base, and we can talk about that certainly, but I do think we saw today a more concrete example, Jules, of what we've been talking about when we say Springer's fielding has maybe taken just like a slight step back. I'm not even saying a massive step back, but enough up to the point where maybe you're like, okay, well, maybe I'd be okay with Springer DHing a little bit more. And the McIver bloop in the top of the eighth inning. So he broke back towards the wall, and then he changed the direction. And again, like, not the most egregious item in this project, in this game, certainly. And certainly even less so because they won this game. But I do think that it underlines the idea that if you can DH Springer, maybe you would take that option if you can. The only problem is with Varsho and Santander down, I mean, who's the next candidate you prefer to see DH? Probably Vladdy, honestly, right? And I think you prefer Vladdy at first base.
For sure.
And using that DH spot on someone else, because to Jen's point, I also would prefer to see Barger stay at third base. I think I prefer, if I'm talking about Clement and Davis Schneider, I think I prefer Clement at second base over Davis Schneider. Personally, like defensively, I think I would prefer Clement at second, which I suppose means you could, if you really wanted to have Schneider in the game, which I'm not sure you necessarily need to, but if you really wanted to, you could put him in left field if you really had to. So, like, you could find a solution here, but to Jen's point, with Jimenez coming back probably on Tuesday, or at the very least at some point this week, we got to think, then, I mean, you're going to have to make some tough decisions as to how you deploy the infield and some parts of your outfield, including Schneider and Springer and, frankly, Barger as well.
Yeah, I don't see this going any other way for Clement other than he will see a cut in playing time, which is...
That's tough, though.
You know, tough, in especially because he got two more hits today, right? He's hitting close to 300 now, which is unbelievable to say with the given the way that the start of the season went for him. But he picked it up, he's hitting. So how do you organize that? I don't know. We saw him at first today. He doesn't really inspire that much confidence at first base, I will say. Very, very good at third. Very good at second.
Clement.
Serviceable at short for sure. We saw a bit of a misplay early on. I think it was in the first inning. It actually ended up leading to a run on a play that, you know, the throw was weird. He stepped on first and threw to second. It was kind of a weird throw. Couldn't get the double play done. So, obviously, Vladdy is the first baseman of this team. And so that means that, you know, we're probably going to see Ernie Clement fit into a bit more of a platoon spot. And if you want to leave Addison Barger at third, then that's pretty perfect because Andrés Giménez will be the everyday second baseman for this team no matter which way you slice it.
I think that's the thing.
And so, you know, yeah, we're probably going to see George Springer play right a bit more than we were anticipating with Anthony Santander down. I don't know. I don't have an answer there. And it is tough to think that Clement will be probably the player to see fewer at-bats because of all of this, because of all of the moves that are about to happen. But it is what it's looking like, unless the Blue Jays can get really creative and think of something that you and I haven't thought of yet.
I'm guessing what they'll do if they really don't want to sit Clement, and I can understand why you would not want to do that, mm-hmm. right? So let's just assume, for the sake of this conversation, Giménez returns on Tuesday, right? So let's also assume that they want to put Giménez in the lineup. I think it's Wheeler on Tuesday. That's a tough order, no matter who's on your team. That's a tall order. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball. But aside from that, let's say you want to get all of Giménez, Clement, and Barger into a game. I think, even though I want to see Barger stay at third, I got to think the easiest way to accommodate all three of those guys would be to just put Giménez at second, leave him there, because like you said, that's his regular position. Put Clement at third base.
Yes.
You're keeping his bat in the game, you're keeping his glove in the game, and he's been pretty serviceable, if not very good, frankly, at third base. And then Barger is in right field, and you DH Springer.
Yeah.
I think that's probably what's going to happen on Tuesday, like more than likely.
That would make sense. Now, if you want to make sure that you know you're not interfering too much with Addison Barger and with his routine and with what he's built, and part of that is keeping him at third, then that makes the conversation a lot more complicated.
Yes, yes.
But we know that he has been okay in right field as well. He has a good arm. The roots to the ball are fine. So, you know, that opens up another avenue for the Blue Jays as well. It is a matter of how conservatively they are going to play it right now because, one, he's been playing very well at third, and two, he's been hitting extremely well. Do you want to do anything that could mess with that for a young player? I don't know. I don't have the answer.
Josh in Brampton on the text line saying, gives me great comfort to see this team can be behind in a game, come back, take a lead, and hold it.
Yeah.
Confidence has been sorely missed, and I welcome this feeling back. Yeah, I bet a lot of people feel the same way, Josh, and I certainly agree with you. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's go back to the phones, Jules. Let's go to Ryan in Innisfil joining us here on Jay's Talk. Ryan, what's up?
I just want to say, hype. We just swept the A's. It's cool. We're over 500. Go Blue Jays, go. We rock. But that being said, what the hell is George Springer doing today, and how do you not get benched after that? It's fine and dandy to do it against teams like the A's, but if you guys want to be a for serious, good baseball team this year, you can't do that against any team, no matter how bad they are. You need to stay dialed in constantly. And second point is, freaking Vladdy, you know why he had his hands on his head when he saw Barger hit a clutch home run? Because he has no idea what it's like to do that. No idea. He's always after the fact. Like, even Julius, to your point of saying, like, Vladdy was clutch today. Was he, though? It's after the fact. It's always after the fact. You're paid $500 million to be the guy that leads the train. You're supposed to be the front of the train, not the caboose that follows everyone. You're supposed to start that dude. I don't know when he's going to do it, when it's going to kick in for him. I don't know why it's always got to be someone else leading the way. You're getting paid $500 million, dude. You got to pick it up. And then with the Clement Jimenez thing, I mean, we got Miles Straw platooning for $15 million a year. I don't see why Jimenez can't platoon for what he's getting paid. Keep everyone that's hitting well in the lineup. Get them as much fast as you can. It doesn't matter what people are getting paid. Do you want to win baseball games, or are you worried about what your checkbook looks like? Let's go Blue Jays. Let's go sweep the Phillies. I feel like we can do it. It's a great ball team if they just stay focused and all the players do what they're supposed to do. Let's go Blue Jays. Hope you guys have a great rest of your weekend. Thank you.
Hey, Ryan, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. So, okay, let's chat about – what do you want to get to first? You want to talk about the Springer outcall at third, or you want to talk about Vladdy Clutch?
Well, I mean, let's just go in Ryan's
order,
I guess,
okay.
And start with
Springer.
Start with Springer.
Okay.
Yeah. So what was your – did you understand? Because, listen, like I watched the game from the press box,
yeah.
And we – you know, that's a good vantage point, and immediately – I turned to Keegan Mathis and I said, they got him. They actually got him. And then they're pointing, the A's are pointing to the dugout, and it is what it is. But it seemed like even in the broadcast, it took a second for people to understand what was happening because it did happen quite fast. But, yeah, so we kind of understood what was happening and we were just waiting for it. But I'm wondering what your vantage point was of that moment there.
So in the moment, because I'm sitting here in between Chris and Ben, and I just was, I'm not going to pretend like I have eagle eyes or something. I just happened to be looking at Springer.
Right.
And he was jumping up and down. And I was kind of looking at him and I'm looking at the dugout. He's clearly looking at them. They're looking at him. He's happy. He's jumping up and down. And then I saw the throw come in. And Schumann, good for him. I mean, it's a heads-up play to put the glove with the ball on, like, Springer's butt, essentially, just to make sure that he gets him. And then the umpire signals safe. Schumann immediately points at Mark Hotze. And then Mark Hotze immediately put his hand up. So there was clearly something there. He ends up getting out. I mean, I view it this way. It's obviously dumb by George Springer, okay?
Like, yeah, there's no other way.
There's no two ways about it, right? Like, it's stupid, right? Just keep your cleats on the bag.
Right.
No matter how excited you get,
yeah.
Just stand there. Put your hands up and do the
go
gun,
on your
gun, finger guns.
Yeah, if you want to fake jump.
Do whatever.
Yeah.
Be excited. Not saying don't be excited, but just, like, keep your cleats on the bag.
Yep.
I will say, though, it's not like Springer, but benching him, it's not like he's doing this all the time. It's not, you know what I mean? It's not like Springer as, like, this big vet is known for making snafus like that.
No.
So I'll give him a pass. He was excited. It did kill the rally. Having said that, the rally wouldn't have necessarily even have been in that position if not for George Springer
yep.
himself. So I give him, like, a little bit of a pass on it. I also believe that, and this may be just going a little too deep on something that ultimately did not matter in a game they won, but I also do think, as dumb as I think it was, like a boneheaded thing of Springer to do, I also think it's very much, like, against the spirit of the rule challenge. That because he clearly had, like, taken the bag. It's not
right.
like he, like, barely got in there and was called out. Like, he was safe at the bag and then just jumped up and was tagged off
yeah.
the bag. Now, again, letter of the law, he was off the bag. It was the correct call. I'm not disputing that in any sense. I've just, like, never really liked that in any, like, aspect of any sport. It's like in hockey, right, when the tip of a player's blade is over the blue line, and then a goal is scored, and they, like, spend 10 minutes reviewing it. Then it's like, oh, that's offside. They wave off the goal, right?
Right.
I've never liked it because obviously that did not materially affect the play. Again, I 1,000% get them overturning the safe call. He was out. It was the right thing to do. But it just always kind of annoyed me, I admit.
Yeah, it's tough because obviously, you know, you make one exception, then you need to make another. And that is why the rule is followed by to a T. Totally understand that as well. It's funny because a couple months ago, this actually happened in the NCAA softball tournament. Mm. Very similar situation in which a Michigan State player hit a double, gets to second base, safe, jumps up, the fielder tags her. That was actually a one-run win for Minnesota. So you see how much that, you know, did play or make a difference in that game. And Springer, as a big softball guy, should have known better, should have remembered that it happened. And just, you know, and again, we're not talking about a college player, right? We're talking about a 12-year MLB veteran. So I agree with you. It was not the smartest play. I don't really believe in punishment or anything like that. I don't believe in punishment for young players. I certainly don't believe in it for a player of the caliber of George Springer. They're going to talk about it. I don't expect it to happen again. That said, like I said to start, he's probably the most relieved player in that Blue Jays clubhouse today.
Also on the Vladdy clutch thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I can kind of get what Ryan is putting down, because there was a point in the game, you know, they're down at this point. Vladdy comes up to the plate and a relatively-ish long AB, but the AB ends with Vladdy swinging through a pitch for a strikeout to end the inning. And at that point, I think you would like to see your $500 million man come through. Having said that, I am not entirely sure I'm going to spend a lot of time being mad at Vladimir Guerrero Jr. today after he got on base multiple times. He had a double in the eighth to add on some insurance runs. He has a 32-game on-base streak. I mean, look, do you want to see him come through in the clutch, like in those kinds of moments every single time? Like, yeah, you do. But ultimately, I can't imagine there was a person in this ballpark or who's watching at home that when you saw Jeff Hoffman start to warm up out there, in even in a two-run ball game, that you weren't a little nervous. And then after Vladdy put this game out of question, you kind of thought to yourself, all right, like I feel much better about that now. So I do understand what Ryan is saying, but I don't think I'm going to pick today to get on Vlad. I have gotten on Vladdy before. I don't think I'm going to pick today to do that.
Yeah, for sure. I totally understand the frustration. The strikeout does not look good, especially with the runner on base, and there were real chances in that at bat. Even the pitch before the strikeout pitch, it was a cutter that it was a middle cutter, right? So, and it's 90 miles per hour, so it's not elite velocity, or it's not Emmanuel Classe's cutter, let's put it like that. And Vladdy could only foul it off. So I get it. There were chances there for sure. And this rally could have started an inning earlier. It didn't. And Vladdy recalibrated and he was ready for it in the next inning. That said, yeah, we need to keep an eye on that. You know, he will have more clutch opportunities this season. And you sort of, you know, wait and see if a trend is materializing or if this is a one-off or what. Baseball is a weird sport. You get a lot of chances to do some things, and you're going to succeed probably 30% of the time, right? That's just how it goes.
416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's go back to the phones, Jules. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Alexander in Manitoba. Alexander, welcome to Jays Talk. What's on your mind?
How's it going, bud?
Good, man. What do you want to talk about today?
I just want to say just absolutely ecstatic about this win today. My name's Steve, actually. Alexander's the town.
Oh, okay. Right, okay. It just says Alexander here, but Steve in Alexander joining us. What's up, man?
All right. So about 2 weeks ago, I watched every Jays game, and I started getting a little bit like, are they going to turn it around? Are they going to... whatever. Last 2 weeks, unbloody believable. Hasn't it been awesome? Addison Barger, you got your big guys. I mean, Barcel goes out. That's tough. But, man, I love this team. Unreal. And I really feel like we're half game back now, right? So from three games back to half game back in a couple of weeks, hey, you got to love it.
Steve, appreciate the call. Appreciate the enthusiasm. Thank you so much for joining us. You know what? I do think, and again, like we talked about this, like A's versus other teams, you'll temper these results to a certain extent. But I think it still means you can be excited. I still think you can view something different in the character of this team. And I feel like too. I mean, even to go back to the beginning of the season, Jules. I mean, I remember hearing from Kirk when after he signed his big deal. I remember hearing from Berríos before opening day, and I remember hearing from so many different players, pitchers and position players, all saying that even they recognized that there is something different about this team in the clubhouse, like something different about the bones of this team.
Yeah.
And it's not like the team has changed like that appreciably. Like, you still have most of the starting rotation, you still have most of the star players, but it certainly feels like even they themselves as a ball club are looking at things a little differently, which is, and again, like the team aside, they played today. It feels undeniable that even we, like the media, Steve and other fans who are watching and listening, I think everyone is kind of feeling that to a certain extent. It's not something you can really quantify, though, which is kind of makes it hard to like pin down, I would say.
Yeah, it's one of my my biggest disagreements with my other co-host Blake Murphy in that
Blake hates vibes.
I am a firm believer in vibes and mentality and momentum and building forward. And Blake is a numbers guy, and he can't really, you know, sometimes we butt heads about that. Let's put it like that. But yeah, you know, one of the things that I have thought about is this core had never really encountered, you know, once they were supposed to be good, let's put it like that. They hadn't really encountered a ton of failure in the regular season. The postseason failures are well documented. But last year, it was just a complete failure, right? Right off the gate, and they couldn't really build anything. What's the worst that can happen? Well, you start again this year. And so you have that experience now, and it does make it a little bit easier to deal with when it is actually happening, because you believe in yourself and you know that that the world doesn't end. Obviously there's expectations. Obviously there's still pressure. There will always be pressure around a team like the Blue Jays, a team with high aspirations. At the same time, you know, failure plays a part as well in evolution and development. And we're seeing a more tight-knit group, it seems like. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's partly because, yeah, you fail, you collect yourself in the offseason, you have tough conversations during the offseason in spring training, and then you show up and you're a little bit stronger for it.
416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. So back to the phones, Jules. Let's go to John in Penetanguishene joining us here on Jays Talk. John, welcome to the program. What do you want to talk about?
Hey, guys, how are you doing today?
Good. Always fun after a four-game sweep, right?
Well, it's a great feeling, isn't it?
It really is.
Well, I got to say one thing, guys. This team is interesting right now. They're playing some wonderful baseball, and I have to say that, you know, that finally that they're over 500. It looks like they're finally heading in the right direction in terms of chemistry, and everyone's getting along. And as a Blue Jays fan, like, you just love to see that. So I'm hoping going forward that, you know, they have a tough schedule ahead. Like, they got Philadelphia, then they got Minnesota next weekend. So I'm just really hoping that, you know, it will be a good test for them. And let's just hope that they will really stick together and play as a team and really grind some wins out. But right now, like, I'm very optimistic, and this team is doing tremendously well. And I'm very impressed with the pitching. And Barger, I got to say, he's one heck of a player. Like, what do you guys think?
Yeah, hey, appreciate the call, John. Yeah, I think Barger, I want to see as much as we can get from Barger.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think we're at the point now, because I had said this about, like 3 weeks ago at this point, Jules, where I thought to myself, you know what, I think the results are finally catching up to the metrics with Barger, but I want to see him do it a little more consistently. I want to see him remain patient, something he had not necessarily done in his previous stints in the majors for like long stretches of time at the very least. I want to see him actually show off the power tool, which he is now starting to do a little bit more, 3 home runs in 3 straight games, including today's 3-run bomb in the 8th. I want to see him continue to play well defensively, whether it's at third base or in right field. Both things, more at third, obviously, as we've discussed, have happened. So, and you know what, I think we're at the point where I think we can say that he has shown us more. I still want to see him. I mean, like, again, there was a text here. I can't quite find it, but there was a text here on the text line, 590-590, that said, hey, have the Blue Jays found that second thumper that Barker's always going on about? Maybe they have,
maybe.
Honestly. Maybe Barger is that guy, right? I've said this a million times. Like, successful teams do need surprises to come from somewhere unexpected. Like, I mean, if Bo goes on to play really well, and he has, if Vladdy continues to play really well, and he has, but if you're getting the results from those two, like, it's good, but it's also, like, expected, right? You always needed to get the results from those two guys. You unfortunately have not gotten the results that you wanted from Santander, but if you can get results from an unexpected place like Addison Barger, you will absolutely take it. And I would make the argument that any successful team in any sports require you to get surprises from an unexpected source, right?
100%.
So I think Barger can be that surprise.
I think so, too, which is I didn't think I would be saying, honestly, show. I had my doubts. I stayed very quiet about Addison Barger for a long time because my opinion was not favorable. And that is when we were seeing him, you know, it was a lot of pop-ups and a lot of strikeouts in which he didn't really have a chance to do anything with the pitches that he was swinging at. And that changed. And as Keegan Mathison put it a few weeks ago, we're witnessing an athlete become a baseball player, which is really fascinating. But it is, the tools have all been there. We all knew that. We've known it for years, you know, since he was a prospect. We have known that Addison Barger has all the tools. And what we're seeing right now is he is putting it all together. And he's giving the Blue Jays the type of quality that they could only dream of when he was a prospect. So extremely good development for this team, especially because Anthony Santander has struggled and is now on the IL. And obviously you hope that this reset, these 10 days or whatever, however long it may be, will actually allow Santander to come back and to perform the way that he has in his career. And then maybe we reevaluate Addison Barger and where he's hitting and what is expected of him. But right now, he has been that pleasant surprise that seems to follow teams that are destined for bigger things.
416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Those are the numbers to call. 590-590, name and location. That's the way to reach us on the text line as well. Let's take a quick break here, Jules. On the other side, we'll check out the Bet365 standings update, take a look around the rest of the American League, and certainly we've got to chat about the pitching. We haven't gotten to any of the pitchers today.
Sure thing.
Certainly got to talk about Kevin Gausman's start, talk about the bullpen as well, who did hold it down. So still lots to get to, still some time to give us a call. If you're stuck on the Gardner or in traffic somewhere or anywhere else in the country, you can certainly give us a call on the phones. 590-590, name and location is the way to reach us on the text line as well. Blue Jays complete the four-game sweep of the A's. You're listening to a series sweep edition of Jays Talk. That's Julia. I'm Sho. We're back in a flash on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
John, what from this series would you want to bottle and just, like, just
offense.
Do this?
Yeah, that. Hit homers. Pitch, you know, pitch well. And don't stop competing. But, I mean, the offense this series was the best I've seen in a while here, you know, in a number of years, really. And if you can bottle that up, that'd be great.
That is John Schneider speaking to the media. I think it was Shy asking that question.
Right.
Downstairs as the Blue Jays wrap up a four-game series sweep of the A's here at the Rogers Center. I'm Sho Ali. That's Julia Kreutz. You're listening to Jays Talk as we welcome you back here inside the Rogers Center. Here's a fun stat from Sportsnet Stats, Jules. Blue Jays match franchise record for runs scored in a six-game span at home with 60, initially set from May to June in 2003.
Yeah.
So that's pretty incredible when you look back to certainly the Padres series and now the A series.
Right. Yeah, John Schneider is not wrong. It is the best offense that we have seen in a number of years throughout a whole series. And listen, you can nitpick. You can say that the pitching for the A's is not the best, but you will take it, and you'll certainly take the confidence that comes with scoring this many runs. And now you need to just spin it forward. And the good news is that, and as we're going to get into the Bet365 standings update here, is that the Phillies are not playing their best baseball, and they're allowing a ton of runs right now. So, you know, that doesn't guarantee anything, but it's certainly a good place to start.
What a segue from Julia Kreutz. Let's check out the Bet365 standings update. At Bet365, you can bet on popular markets like hits, home runs, and total bases. Download the app and find out why it's never ordinary. At Bet365, 19 plus, play responsibly, Ontario only. So first, let's check out the American League East. So I believe all of the games, except for Sunday Night Baseball, of course, because it hasn't started yet, are over. The Yankees, I mean, I will say, we said this yesterday too, Jules, because the Yankees had an evening game yesterday as well. They got thrashed by the Dodgers. My goodness. I think it was like 18-2 was the final score in Los Angeles. My goodness. So we'll see if that holds again today. But the Yankees taking on the Dodgers in about 90 minutes or so. The Red Sox did beat the Braves 3-1. The Baltimore Orioles completed a sweep of the White Sox. They beat the White Sox today 3-2 to complete the sweep. The Rays narrowly losing to the Astros 1-0, the final score for the Astros over the Rays. And then we have our game, an 8-4 Blue Jays win over the A's. So with the Yankees game not having started, the Yankees are 35-22. The Blue Jays are 31-28. The Rays are 30-29. The Red Sox are 29-32. And the Baltimore Orioles, with the three-game sweep, their first sweep of the season, I believe, they are 22-36. To your point about the Phillies lost to the Brewers today 5-2. So the Phillies, even with the loss, they are 36-23. So that's the team coming in here beginning Tuesday.
Yeah, this is going to be a very interesting series. And, you know, it kind of does take me back to the Padres series, also a team that came in here struggling, and the struggles continued.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, nothing is guaranteed. One series does not impact the other in any way, but we've seen the Blue Jays have success in a similar spot. In a very recent past. So we'll see how much of the dominance in this series carries over to the Philly side.
Let's check out the text line, Jules. We got about 10 minutes left here. 590, 590, name and location. So we were talking about how do you deal when Jimenez likely returns on Tuesday. How do you deal with the configuration? Like, where do you place guys in the field? So Bob and Brampton saying Jimenez at second, and then you platoon Barger and Clement at third base, depending on who's on the mound for the opposing team. So Barger versus righties, Ernie versus lefties. And I mean, look, it's not a terrible idea.
Right.
I think the only reason, really, I would disagree with that is just I would like to see what Barger has at third base, even against left-handed pitching, because he has been hitting so well. I think that would be my only quibble with it, but that is, I think, the traditional idea of how you deploy guys who platoon positions like that, right? It's just Barger, I think, has earned a little bit more based on how he's hit. Frankly, I think Clement has earned plenty of time as well based on how he's hit. I don't know if you've seen this. Like, if you look at the splits for Ernie Clement between how he looks when he hits against right-handed pitchers and left-handed pitchers. Between right-handed pitchers, like, it's all right. Like, it's all right. But against left-handed pitchers, he is literally one of the best hitters ever. It's like, if you compare what Ernie Clement is doing, like, in this stretch right now against left-handed pitchers to, like, what Barry Bonds did, it's like, I'm not exaggerating when I say it's actually comparable in terms of, like, WRC+. Again, it's like it's a much smaller sample size than Barry Bonds' career, right? But at the same time, it's pretty crazy. Like, it's actually up there with, like, Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani against left-handed batters. It's pretty crazy.
It is, and so, you know, That I would add to your point against a platoon, and we're not necessarily against a platoon, right, Joe? I think that would be the most obvious solution here, but you also want to ride the hot hand of Ernie Clement, who hit this series like he had a personal vendetta against his old team. He just kept hitting, and if that continues, then you also need to maximize the offense. If you want to bottle up the offense that you saw here, well, that starts with how you construct your lineup and making sure that the best hitters are in there. I agree with our previous caller here that should still be the priority, and you kind of build it from there. Wouldn't mind, you know, seeing the Blue Jays get creative as a way to make sure that everyone who's hitting gets a chance to keep hitting, Joe.
Let's talk about the pitching also real quick before we get out of here, Jules. There's a text line question from our comment from Bob, who is trucking through Louisiana. So
safe travels.
Safe travels, Bob. No texting while you drive. Although, I don't know. Maybe it's easier when you're driving a truck. I have no idea. But still, maybe don't do it. But I do appreciate the text. Bob saying, putting Hoffman in to close was the right decision. Great opportunity to enhance his confidence. I will say this. Like, we were in the booth here. I was with Ben Shulman and Chris LaRue. And we were saying, all right, you know what? Four-run lead. Vladdy increases the lead here. Maybe you can sit down Jeff Hoffman. He still came out. I mean, he probably had already just gotten hot, I imagine. But to Bob's point, I think, you know, not necessarily that's a get-right game, but more on the idea that, you know, he had struggled a little bit. It's not the highest leverage spot you'll see Hoffman pitch in, and certainly even just this season that has not necessarily been the case. But after some struggles, I bet even he wouldn't have minded going out there, even in a four-run game, to kind of just get himself right to a certain extent.
Yeah, and the Blue Jays also need to see where this stuff is, right? Because we saw the struggles with command yesterday, And you hear from John Schneider, from the pitchers themselves, that there are constantly open lines of communication between staff and pitchers and hitters as well. But, you know, to stay on Jeff Hoffman here, and John Schneider said, listen, he's being honest with us about where he is physically, about where the stuff is and all of that. And so you kind of just need to give him a chance to prove that he can still do it and he can still be the undisputed closer for this team. Great start. And we've seen him, you know, have tough outings and then bounce back, and then it's tough again and then he bounces back again. So you want to see the consistency. I don't mind him coming in, especially, yeah, like you said, the lead was increased a bit later in even his warm-up process and all of that, and you don't want to mess with that too much. So very much uniting two useful things there of give him an outing that is not as high stress. It's not a save situation. You have room to make mistakes, and that sometimes frees up guys to make pitches. You know, you don't have to grip the ball as tightly. You can just go out there and pitch your game and remind yourself that you can still do this, and you can still do this effectively in the way that he did. 1-2-3, no problem, no real threats, and, you know, you kind of close the book on this one, start thinking about building towards something like the first month of the season. I don't expect us to see the same level of dominance, because that was just insane.
Yeah.
But Hoffman has the stuff to be an effective closer in this league. I can't begin to explain, you know, why things got as bad as they did for a little bit there. Nice to see him bounce back. And now we just need the consistency show.
Yeah, Hoffman probably as happy as anyone to see the calendar go from May to June, because, boy, it was a rough outings from him almost every other time. It felt like he came out on that mound in the month of May. So definitely a good start to June. You know, if we work backwards from Hoffman, Eric Swanson made his return today. His first game since September 28th, 2024, because he was just reactivated off the 60-day IL today. We were debating pregame the situation you like choose to bring Swanson into this game. And, I mean, you said you'd do it in high leverage as long as he could start with a clean inning, and that is exactly what we got. Maybe some tough luck on the very first batter of the inning to McIver, but a wild pitch, a hit batter, a double steal executed in that same inning. That actually ended up being, I mean, the A's lost this game, obviously, but
right.
That at the time ended up being very important to get another run scored for the A's with a sac fly immediately after the double steal. But still, I mean, you know what? Swanson managed to get out of it with limiting the damage. So, you know, you'll take that. And the Blue Jays were clear that they weren't going to, like, not pitch him just to not
right.
pitch him in high leverage.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all things considered, it could have been much cleaner by all means, but I mean, we had seen the Blue Jays in, like, Flaherty's, like, you know, first 24 hours in the major leagues. He got thrown into the fire, essentially, into some very high-leverage situations. So they're clearly not afraid to do that, and they did it today with Swanson.
Yeah, it's pretty hilarious that he got the win. I will say that after that messy inning, something to build on, show, but you have to clean it up as well, right? The command, you have to be more precise in those moments. And I did remember you quite a bit when he came in, because it was exactly the situation that we had discussed. One run game, seventh or eighth inning. Do you bring Eric Swanson in? There he was. You're right. He limited the damage. It could have been a lot worse. But if he is to be a consistent high leverage guy moving forward, there's a lot to clean up after that inning that he pitched there.
We saw Chad Green as well. Probably also bit with some tough luck in the inning's first two batters. It's actually pretty crazy. Like, there was a point in this game where the Athletics, before the big bottom of the eighth from the Blue Jays, there was a point in this game, even after the top of the eighth inning, like in between innings, or in the middle of the inning, I should say, the Athletics as a team had like an expected batting average, like on the whole, of like, and they had four runs, I want to say with 11 hits, of like 193.
Right.
That was their expected batting average as a team, and yet they had 11 hits and four runs. So I think that just speaks to, there was some batted ball luck that went their way, basically until the bottom of the eighth inning when the Blue Jays had the six-run inning. But, I mean, Chad Green, I think, is a good example of this because, again, like, some tough luck in the inning's first two batters, but he did bounce back. I mean, he struck out the next two guys. He did walk a guy that loaded the bases, and then he gets a pop-out. So he actually got out of the inning without any damage. It just feels like
It was a stressful inning, for sure.
It was very stressful, and I think that has somewhat defined his season so far, right? Like, not the cleanest season.
Right.
He'll give up the odd home run, get into some trouble, but he does get the job done, even if I think most people would prefer this kind of situation that we saw today to play itself out in, like, lower leverage.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you can't hang a slider against Jacob Wilson and expect to get out of it. You can't really throw a sinker straight down the middle to Brent Rooker and expect to get away with it. More often than not, you won't. But to his credit, he did bounce back. He struck out the next couple guys, got the pop out, and got out of it unscathed. But it's a lot of traffic for one inning. And you kind of expect, if you're going to look at numbers and expected stats and all of that, you expect this to turn into at least one run, you know, more often than not. So tough, but you kind of you take what you can get from Chad Green right now. I don't want to sound like I'm too, you know, out on him or anything like that, but it's been a lot of this. It's been a lot of stressful situations when Chad Green is on the mound.
Mason Fluharty, I wanted to get to as well. You know, I'm a big Fluharty fan.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And,
absolutely.
One and a third from Fluharty. No hits or walks, two strikeouts, 20 pitches, 13 strikes. It was actually the third time he pitched in this series. But definitely, you're okay with it, given that there's an off day tomorrow. But a nice set of bounce-back outings, like the trio of bounce-back outings
oh,
in
yeah.
this series, because he gave up four runs with no outs in the blowout loss against the Rays. So it's nice to see him, you know, by and large, get back to what we have seen from him all year. I mean, he struck out Clark on the cutter. He struck out Lawrence Butler on the sweeper. So definitely some positives, I would say, from Fluharty after what was a really tough outing in Tampa. But nice to see him get back to, like, three straight pretty good outings.
Yeah, no, big time. And again, you know, you and I spoke about this yesterday as well. I think that you just need to flush that Rays series.
Yeah.
You can't really take it too much into consideration. Obviously, there's still lessons and the games still count and all of that. But it was just so bizarre the way that it all happened. I didn't really hold that outing against Mason Fluharty too much, because if you want to talk about bad batted ball luck, that was that outing for him. And this is who he really is. He is working his way up to significantly bigger spots with this club, and he deserves to get the call in those moments. It's been one of those pleasant surprises, and the stuff is in a good place, Joe.
We'll wrap up on Gausman, who, of course, was today's starting pitcher. And again, I think some bad luck for him, at least early
mm-hmm.
in the game, right?
Yep.
With the Jacob Wilson hit. Another Willie McIver hit, both like bloopers that just landing out of the reach of guys. But he was also battling today a little
mm-hmm.
bit, right? Like he some really varied velo on the fastball. I think the A's batters, to their credit, like they deserve some flowers for taking a lot of pitches, fouling off a lot of pitches. I mean, Gausman finished the top of the third inning having thrown 67 mm-hmm. pitches
yeah.
after three innings alongside two walks. He hadn't walked a single batter since the beginning of May. May 3rd, the last time he walked is even just one batter. So a pretty elevated pitch count for just three innings of work. In the fifth inning, and I mean, maybe he was just struggling with the fastball overall, but he threw 15 pitches in the fifth before he got lifted. He threw 11 splitters there.
Yeah.
And so maybe a little too splitter happy. I mean, Urias, which was the bat after he gave up the double, he got pulled. But Urias maybe was sitting splitter because he had seen three straight split fingers. And even some of the batters before, prior to that, it was two fastballs and then like eight splitters essentially,
mm-hmm.
right? So I got to think he was looking for it. He hammered the ball down the left field line. Wasn't his cleanest start.
Right.
Gausman has spoken before about how he needs the fastball to work for the splitter to be effective. It wasn't great today, but again, I don't think I'm necessarily worried about Kevin Gausman.
Yeah, the velocity was very up and down
yeah, yeah.
on the fastball, and that's, you know, usually an indicator of it may not be exactly where Kevin Gausman wants it to be. It was at points, and then he lost it at points, and that's where you see him maybe throw a few more sliders or go to the splitter more than advised. And, you know, the splitter still looked like it was in a very good place. It was generating the swing and miss. He struck out seven batters. There's a reason for that, but you need to be able to command that fastball in order to, you know, allow your repertoire to play. Didn't happen today, but I agree with you. Not too worried. The A's also put up a fight here. This is again, it's a growing lineup. we'll see how he does in 5 or 6 days here.
Blue Jays wrap up a four-game series sweep with an 8-4 win over the Athletics here at the Rogers Center. Blue Jays baseball brought to you by the local family-owned Crownrust Control Centers in Charlottetown and Summerside, PEI. Crown is proud to be Canadian-owned and operated since 1986. Protect your vehicle from rust today at your local Crownrust Control Center or visit crown.com. Crown, Canada's number one rust protection. For Julia Kreutz, Ben Schulman, Chris LaRue, Tom Young. No Tom Young today. Stephen Coyle, Nick Blackmore. Always happy to give Tom a shout out. Christian Chiniti as well. I'm Sho Ali. That does it for us. We are out of here. Happy Pride Month, everyone. Also, National Indigenous History Month as well. Blair and Barker back for the Philly series. We'll talk to you later.